From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Vice President Joe Biden is visiting Ukraine, hoping to de-escalate tension between that country and Russia. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports armed groups are not following an international agreement signed last week in Geneva to ease the Ukrainian crisis.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says the West will levy new sanctions on Russia if pro-Russia factions occupying government buildings in eastern Ukraine don't vacate. But the occupiers say they won't step down till a referendum is held. We'll free the buildings when we can vote on our future, says this camouflaged, masked, Kalashnikov-toting militant who's standing guard at the occupied town hall in Slovyansk. Meanwhile, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov accuses Kiev of making no effort to disarm groups in Maidan Square. Moscow and Kiev disagree on which armed groups are fomenting unrest. Ukraine blames pro-Russian separatists, and Russia blames Ukrainian nationalists. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Donetsk.
President Obama leaves today on a trip for Asia, but his first stop will be in Washington State. He'll visit the site of a deadly mudslide north of Seattle. The rural neighborhood of Oso was buried under a mudslide 1 month ago, and at least 41 people died. 4 people remain missing. As the president prepares for his Asia tour, including a stop in South Korea, there are reports of increased activity at a North Korean nuclear test site. Jason Strother has more from Seoul.
South Korea's defense ministry says the activity at the testing site could be a sign of an upcoming test, or the North is just trying to fake everyone out. Pyongyang hasn't conducted a nuclear test in over a year, though has recently warned it might do so again. It would be the country's fourth detonation since 2006. President Obama will make a stop in South Korea at the end of this week. North Korea has already condemned his visit here. South Korea's foreign minister said a new test at this time would be a, quote, game changer. For NPR News, I'm Jason Strother in Seoul.
The death toll from the South Korean ferry sinking is at least 104 people. Almost 200 people remained missing, and divers continue to bring bodies to the surface. The ferry's captain and 2 crew members have been arrested on suspicion of negligence and for abandoning people in need. A U.S. federal marshal shot and killed a defendant in a federal courtroom yesterday in Salt Lake City, Utah. FBI special agent in charge, Mark Dressen, says the defendant jumped up from his table and then attacked a witness who was testifying against him.
They stopped the threat to the witness. The courtroom was fully secured at that time, and there's no additional threats to the community beyond this.
The defendant, Ciale Angelou, had been accused in a sweeping racketeering case lodged against gang members. Charges included robbery, assault, and weapons offenses. This is NPR. Japan's annual spring whale hunt in the North Pacific is set to begin this week, despite an order to suspend its whaling program much further south near Antarctica. From Tokyo, John Matthews reports the country's whaling industry sits in a precarious position both domestically and internationally.
Despite a global moratorium, Japan, Norway, and Iceland continue whaling operations under the flag of scientific research. However, as a result of a court case brought by Australia, the International Court of Justice ruled Japan's Antarctic program is in fact unscientific. Although hunts off its northeastern coast are not included in the ruling, Japan is nearly halving its quota from 380 minke whales to 210. Proponents claim the hunt is part of the national culture. A recent whale meat buffet was held for lawmakers, seemingly in defiance of the ruling, even though whale meat sales continue to drop. Internationally, whaling has long been a source of friction between Japan and other nations. Still, fishery officials say they're hoping to revise their Antarctic research program for reinstatement by 2015. For NPR News, I'm John Matthews in Tokyo.
Officials from Nepal's government are meeting with Sherpa climbing guides following last week's deadly avalanche on Mount Everest. At least 13 Sherpas were killed. The guides are considering a strike unless Nepal provides them with more insurance, money for the victims' families, and new climbing rules. The U.S. is investigating whether new chemicals were used in Syria this month, poisoning civilians. The State Department says the toxin was apparently deployed in areas of Syria held by rebels. A State Department spokeswoman says indications suggest the chemical used was chlorine. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News, in Washington.